Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the Trig Podcast of Joy, your daily edition of Gozo TV and this awesome podcast on this new year, 2019. Happy New Year. Today is January 9th, 2019, 9 days already into this new year. How are your workout plans going? Can you say, pass me another See's candy? Well, today I want to talk to you about being a boss or being a buddy. Being a boss or being a buddy or a friend. So, as we start this new year, I've been thinking a lot about leadership and influence and how to win people and influence them and really to serve other people. But how do you serve others when they are your employee and yet you also want to be a friendly kind of boss? Now, in your case, you might be a boss, you might not be, but you definitely are maybe a parent. And so when are you a parent and when are you a friend? Or are you both? And by parent, I mean maybe someone who has to lay down the law, you know, who has to kind of do some tough love. And by friend, of course, I mean someone who's maybe more supportive. So now, oh yeah, and also you might not be a boss in the traditional sense, or you might not be a parent, but you might be a leader of a group. Maybe you have a group of friends, or you lead a group of volunteers, something like that. So just think, in any area where you have influence, how do you manage that fine line between being the organizer or the supervisor and being kind of that friendly person or the friend, as I said. Now, another way to think about this is, what kind of boss do you like or do you prefer? Do you prefer a boss who is by the book and who sets good boundaries? Or do you prefer a boss who's more flexible and who lets you color outside the lines? So now, starting with some of my experiences, then I want to give you 3 tips on how to kind of walk that fine line. I've always liked bosses that are very clear. Because I'm a very organized person, black and white, I like bosses who are clear but who are flexible at the same time. I don't like micromanagers. I don't think anybody does. And so when a boss or a lead pastor or whoever's in charge wants to overmanage me, then I rebel. I resist that. Now, as a boss, I have struggled with being a micromanager. That's ironic. And so I've grown a lot in letting go. But then other times, I've struggled with letting go too much. And I remember this one employee, she said to me once, Trig, I think you need to be more mean with us. And she didn't mean to say mean words, of course, but she just said, you need to be more firm and less flexible or less loosey-goosey. And so I've gone back and forth. I think I'm finding my way. And I think where I've landed is that I need to be firm 80% of the time, maybe 70% of the time, and 30% of the time, I need to be very flexible and just go with the flow, not the other way around. Now, as a parent, I would say I'm probably around the same. Maybe 70% of the time, I like to be clear with our children of my expectations in terms of school or when to come home. Or chores when they were smaller, respect, of course, for Rochelle, my wife, all those things. But then 20-30% of the time, I am flexible. And of course, that changes as they get older. When they're small, you have more of that control, that supervision. And now they're teens, and soon they'll be in their 20s. Obviously, you're more of a coach, not so much of a caretaker or a caregiver. And so I want to give you now 3 tips on how to manage that. These different polar opposites, or these two sides to the coin. So number one is to be yourself. You have to know, as I said, what you like and really meaning how you want to be led or how you have been led before that you enjoyed. But I think most, more than anything, you have to be yourself. You have to know your personality type. If you are familiar with the Myers-Briggs, if you are more of an FP or an NF, which is more the intuitive feeler, then you're going to lead more with your feelings. If you are a P, again, if you know the Myers-Briggs, a P is kind of the spontaneous type. P means perceptive, or stands for perceptive or perceiving. It's not that you're perceptive or not. It's just that you tend to be led by what you perceive. Versus a J, which tends to lead by what they judge. Not that you're judgmental, but just they make a decision immediately most of the time. They are, just think of a judge, not of someone who's judgmental. Just think of a judge. A judge is there to say guilty or not guilty. So if you're more of a P, meaning perceptive, perceiver, if you tend to be more spontaneous, then be that way and tell everybody that. Say, hey, you know what? The way I'm going to lead you is being more loosey-goosey because that's who I am. That's what I prefer. But here are my boundaries. And so you lay them out. Now, if you are more of a J, of a judger or of a judging type, then it's better that you say to people, you know, I'm more of a black and white person and this is more me. And so you might say, even though I may come across as nice and loosey-goosey, that's only 20% of the time. 80% of the time, I will expect it to be on time, to show up to meetings ready, and to do your job by the assigned date. It's better that you are clear with who you are, even if you yourself aren't perfect in doing all that you expect others to do. So it's kind of the old principle, right? Or the old adage, do as I say, not as I do. I mean, that's parenting 101, right? But even though you might not be perfect in doing everything or doing everything right, that's not the point. The point is that if you are the boss and if you are in charge, that you need to be honest with yourself. Now, being honest with yourself also includes talking about your weaknesses. So you might want to say to your employees or your team or your children, your grandkids, you might want to say to them, you know, you might see that at times I go too far, that I am too strict. I want you to know that that's something I'm working on. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do as I say. Now, if you're more of a flexible type, you might be, again, honest and say, you know, sometimes I'm late to meetings as well, or I stay home and I go out for breakfast and I come in late because I'm the boss, right? Because I'm the parent, because whatever it is. But it doesn't mean, you might want to say, that I'm always that way or that you should do the same. And so you want to be honest with your style. If you don't know your personality style, there are many places you can figure that out. If you don't know your leadership style, then also there are a lot of places where you can take tests. But really, I think that there are two types of leadership styles. Actually, there are more like 7 or 9 from what I've studied. But and I won't go into all the styles here, but just know who you are. Number two is to know who you're talking to, know your audience. So it's not enough just to know your style. You also need to be sensitive to the needs of the other person. Remember that leadership is about winning people over to your side. Maybe better put, leadership is about serving other people. It's about bringing them to a higher place. Some people call it influence. I don't really like that word necessarily, nor do I like to say that leadership is having people do what you want or bossing them around. Although all those things are true of leadership, and definitely of my style, I would say that leadership, for the most part, at least on how I perceive it, and this is also my style, is about making other people better. But in order for you to make other people better, it means you need to know what makes them better, what makes them tick. And so you may have an employee who is very stressed, is a very anxious type. They fear being maybe overlooked, or they fear that they're going to be fired or that their job is on the line. If you know that about that person, you wouldn't want to threaten them. You don't want to go around having some sort of like a transactional relationship where you're constantly making that person feel that if they don't do this, then this will happen. You want to approach it more as thanking them for all they do. And you want to then say, in order to make you better, so that you don't fear, so that you don't worry about your job, here are some tips. Now, if someone is always late and rebellious and doesn't like to play by the rules, then you have a choice to make. You either want to be confrontational with that person, which I've tried and I don't think it works, or what I would recommend is you want to be very, very precise and really speak almost like objectively. So instead of saying, okay, you're late, or why are you acting this way, or I felt hurt when you did this, or any of those more personal, those personal words or language, it's better to really address the actual events. So for example, say something like, hey, Jose, did you know that your hours are supposed to be from 9 to 10? What happened? Or maybe you can say to Juanita, hey, Juanita, we decided on blue curtains, not purple. Can you help me understand what happened? See how objective that is? That's not saying you or we or I. It's not about the person. It's about the object. And when you have someone who's rebellious, who's more of a head person, more of a control freak, someone who is confrontational, you don't want to always go head to head with them. I think you do have to at the beginning to kind of set your boundaries and to show them who's boss. But you want to eventually talk more objectively, to use rationale versus emotion or power. Same goes with children. If you have a child who is more rebellious, you're going to have a hard time having them do what you want by pulling their arm or spanking their bottom or any of those things if you do that. You might want to instead is to be more rational. Now, if you have someone who's a very emotional type, someone who gets easily hurt, I don't mean that they get defensive. That's more of the control person. But they're very easily hurt. They're fragile. With them, you want to lead with your feelings, always. You don't want to bring up the responsibilities or that they showed up late or that they didn't buy the right fabric. You know, you want to address more your feelings. So, for example, if someone, let's say, is late, you may want to say, oh, how are you, Martha? You know, how is your mom? How is your mom doing? Oh, you know, my mom has been sick. Oh, is that why you were late today? Oh, I'm sorry. See how that is so much more powerful and effective than saying, why were you late? You lead with what that person is thinking about, how they process life with their emotions. Now, with all of these different approaches, there's always a fine line. You don't want to let the person abuse that or to be unaware of their personality. You don't want to be codependent or enable people. But you do want to, as the Bible says, you want to be thinking of them more than you. That's what we call empathy in leadership, not sympathy. Sympathy is, oh, I'm sorry you lost your loved one. That's sympathy. But empathy is putting yourself in their shoes. The Bible is really awesome in this. It says that, like Paul says, to the Greek, I speak as the Greek. To the Jews, I speak like a Jew. To the unsaved, I relate to them as an unsaved person. And I love what he says at the end, so that I may win everyone. So this idea of winning people is not some business term or something wrong or bad. It's a very biblical term. We're trying to win people in this case of obviously a faith over to Christ. But really, even that, what does that mean over to Christ? Well, it means to elevate that person to a higher level. And so the same goes with leadership or winning people and encouraging them or influencing them, as the book by Dale Carnegie says, how to make friends and influence people. You want to put yourself in their shoes. So that's number two. And then the last one is to be, I would say be, I want to call it apologize often. Maybe that's a good way to put it, is to be vulnerable. Maybe that's what I mean to say. So the first one is to be yourself. The second one is to put yourself in people's shoes. The third one is to be vulnerable. You know, Jesus, to me, is the ultimate leader. He was very aware of himself, of his purpose. He was, oh my goodness, the ultimate sacrificial man who always thought of others more than himself, to the point of death on a cross, as Hebrews 12 says. But then he was vulnerable. He was honest. I mean, when he's on the cross, after being beaten and abused for hours and days, he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do." At Gethsemane, even though he knows he's supposed to die on a cross, he says, "Father, if at all possible, take this away from me. And yet, let not my will be done, but your will be done." If you are a leader, an influencer, be honest with your people. Be honest with your kids. They know how you're feeling. They see you. They know exactly what you're going through. If you're stressed, they see that. If you're happy, they see it. If you're nervous, it's better that you acknowledge how you're feeling than to hide it or try to hide it and talk nonsense or just talk out of your mouth. Be honest with yourself. Bring parts of you to that conversation. Now, don't be inappropriate. Don't say to your kids, "Oh, I'm thinking of getting a divorce," or "I'm really struggling in my marriage," or "We might lose the house." Especially if they're young, or even if they're teens. I mean, be sensitive, be appropriate. Same thing, same goes for your employees or your team members. But I always use, again, the 80-20 rule. I would even go as far as 90-10. Be 10% vulnerable. For some of you, that may feel like 100%. For some, might feel like that's not enough. Don't overdo it, but be vulnerable. Talk about your own growth, your own process, the things you're reading, the books you're reading, the concepts that you're practicing, how you feel nervous even in talking to your kids about your dad or your father or the illness that someone's going through. Say to your loved ones, "You know, I'm really struggling with this, but here's what we need to do." That union between head and heart, between buddy and boss, between friend and parent, I guess, is very important to be an effective leader, but more than that, just be an effective human being. Now, to close, I am myself growing in this. I'm to use this third technique here. Even though I know myself, and even though I try to put myself in people's shoes, I make mistakes a lot of times. I'm trying to learn. I often feel like I am too mean. Other times I feel like I overreact. Other times I feel like I underreact and I don't speak up enough. But guess what? I am growing. I'm getting better at this. I'm learning with you how to be the best version of myself. Asking the Lord Jesus for help, for forgiveness. Saying to my wife, "I'm sorry that I wasn't sensitive or that I didn't listen well." Saying to my employees, to my church, to my family, "You know, I need to forgive more. I need to be less angry." And yet to say, "God, you are good. You're faithful. I love you and you're helping me." My prayer for you today is that whatever you do this day, this week, this year, that you would lead with courage, and that you will pause with grace. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to go to davidtree.com for all my latest music, podcasts, and articles. Until next time, adios.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.